Good morning, everyone. I hope that you've had a lovely week and in some way, shape or form managed to enjoy the beautiful sunshine that we have been having. I managed to have a really nice few days of staycation after the Easter weekend festivities, and now we are continuing celebrating that Christ has risen in our family service, for he has risen indeed. A fact we will keep alive in our hearts and minds through this season of Easter. For those of you who emailed in after the Easter service with the answer to how many eggs were in our virtual egg hunt, the answer was 29. Yes, 29 eggs were hidden in that panoramic scene of St Giles's churchyard at the end of our Easter service. So well done, those of you who got it right. Give yourselves a well-earned pat on the back. This week, several families known to Stoke Posies Church received a kick bag. That's children in church. These are bags filled with activities and stuff to help our youngest people join in with church at home. The bags are for you to keep and to use either during our services, like right now, or as you're listening, or at any point during the week. It's entirely up to you. There are ideas in the bag, as you will see, as to what to do with everything, but you use them as you see fit. They are there to enable you to worship, explore your faith, and come close to God. Every week, a small activity will be dropped off on your doorstep that follows the theme of the Bible passage. And at the end of your service sheets, there is a Roots children's sheet. Parents or carers, can you print that off if your little ones aren't able to do it themselves? And then you'll have even more fun-filled activities and puzzles to share and do together. If your child did not receive one of these bags and would like one, then I'm really sorry if we missed you out. It wasn't done deliberately. Just ask the office and we'll get one to you as quickly as we can. And finally, last night our local Brownies held a camp at home event. Now, I'm not sure if anybody had any sleep last night, but from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning, they were camping, but they were also collecting lots of food and goodies for the Stoke Posies store cupboard. I'm sure Anne and Julie will be excited to see what arrives during the week. But remember, the store cupboard is there for all of us. If you are struggling to get supplies from the shops, call the Good Neighbour Scheme and they will help you out. They come to the store cupboard, collect what you need from it, and then drop it off. If you would like to use it, do. If you know someone who would appreciate some support like this, then encourage them to use it. Pay for your shopping, take it as a gift, it doesn't matter. Any funds raised will be going to the Village DFib Fund or the Rennie Hospice once this pandemic is over. We want everyone to benefit from the village's generosity and care, not just a few. Use the store cupboard, please. Now, let us begin our service together this day, the second Sunday after Easter. Let's pray. God, we gather as your people. We come to walk a journey together, to talk and to share along the way, to meet and to know Jesus. Help us to marvel at all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. Amen. And so now we have a time of sung worship. Tina Edwards has curated our worship this morning, so thank you, Tina, for doing this. We have two songs now. First of all, Yes and Amen, followed by All Heaven Declares. Join in as you are able to, or just sit and enjoy these songs of praise to our wonderful Lord and God.
Faithfulness, I will rest in your promises. the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever He will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship Him alone. The glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. Gladly bow the knee and worship You alone. Forever You will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee.
We come now to the time of the confession. If it would be helpful to you, then pause this podcast here and have a period of reflection. That reflection is to have a think about the week that you've just had, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to think of those things that are coming to mind that you want to say sorry to God about. When you're ready, rejoin us and we will pray these words in bold together. Let us pray. Risen Lord, we are sorry that we fail to recognise You in our midst, that we are too preoccupied with ourselves. We are sorry that we let You down, that we feast and don't invite others to share with us. We are sorry that we welcome friends, but not always the stranger, or anyone who makes us feel uncomfortable. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be generous people, our church, our homes, and our hearts, always places of welcome. Amen. As God's forgiven people, with the risen Christ, may Almighty God, who sent His Son into the world to save sinners, bring us His pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. As we come now to our reading from Luke's Gospel, try to imagine what it would have been like to be so close to the events of the first Easter and to find the resurrection of Jesus so surprising. Note how much faith and trust and meaning these early preachers and disciples find in the fact that Jesus is risen. So over to Pam.
Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, and what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before we begin our sermon, let's pray. Dear Father God, we just thank you for being with us now. As we journey with you through this Easter period, reveal to us your true nature and your character. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we have a familiar story like this one from Luke's Gospel, it's easy to forget where it sits in the bigger picture of the whole story of God. So let me remind you today. We are being transported back 2 weeks to that first Easter Sunday that we celebrated together. The Marys have witnessed seeing Jesus alive just outside the tomb, and Peter has run back and forth to that same spot to see for himself the cloths Jesus was wrapped in, all neatly folded, and is currently pondering in his heart what all of this might mean. The details of these events have been fed back to our two travellers who were there with the other disciples and therefore party to these revelations. They were there in Jerusalem and heard firsthand the various testimonies. So much information, facts to process and check, but check against what? It was all a muddle, so confusing. So as Cleopas and his friend walk and they talk, reliving, retelling each other again and again what they had seen and learnt about their leader Jesus. Yet with all the bits of the puzzle in their possession, they know who Jesus is. They've heard his words because they're part of this group who are the first responders to the Easter event. So it's quite possible, most likely, that they have also seen Jesus doing and saying the most amazing things in his 3.5-year ministry. and they were there. It's in this account and says they were there 3 days before at the time of the crucifixion. Yet they were no clearer or certain as to what all this, "He's alive," what that meant. Then on this 11-kilometre journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they are joined by another. They are in despair about the death of Jesus. And then, lo and behold, there he is. Jesus appears and walks beside them, but they do not recognise him. When we look to the theologians for their opinion as to why they didn't realise it was Jesus straight away, they are just as unsure as I am. For we are not told who or what prevents them from knowing it's him. Did God prevent it? Or was it the trauma of witnessing his death that stopped them? Maybe it was a combination of all of those things. But I was left wondering, what prevents us from seeing Jesus walking beside us at this very moment in time? And then it hit me, a moment of clarity. It was all about the revelation. As we know, when you are in the midst of a very traumatic situation with lots of information and accounts of what is happening swamping you hour by hour, it's hard to just absorb it all in one hit and make sense of what it means for us. As we know, we are living that right now with this COVID-19 virus. But that is not what this sermon is about. It's about revelation that leads to understanding that brings hope. When we first heard about Jesus, did we take it as gospel? That he was and is God? That he came as a baby to earth in human form to execute a plan that was always meant to lead to his death, but go beyond death into life again? To be what our Eucharistic liturgy calls the perfect sacrifice made once for all, so we might live one life with God the Father, accepted, known, and forgiven. Did we accept that message immediately? Or did it take several or hundreds of encounters with Jesus' disciples, and then in the end, with an encounter with the living God, to convince us that it's actually true? Jesus is alive. As Jesus joins Cleopas and his friends, they have heard and seen so much of Jesus' story. They are Jews who were in Jerusalem not initially for the crucifixion, but for Passover. They have so much knowledge about God, about Jesus, about the Easter event. They have come close to God in so many ways and on so many occasions, yet right then, at that moment in time, when they needed God the most, they could not see or feel or even recognise him when he was right there next to them, sharing this journey home to Emmaus. What prevented that? It's so frustrating, isn't it? Yet don't we too struggle in much the same way as those two guys? I've said this countless times before, and on Good Friday and again on Easter Sunday, I repeated myself. God never leaves us. He is there in the midst of us eternally. Yet our fear, our anxieties, our doubts, especially our doubts, block our view of him. So what do you do? What do we do? What to do? Well, Jesus knew what to do. He has witnessed to his closest disciples, the 11, and the women who knew him personally and intimately. Now he stands next to those who know him, accept him as a leader, but don't as yet fully comprehend exactly who he is. And he teaches them from the scriptures, using all of scripture, verse 27 tells us. Words like, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Words from Deuteronomy 18. "Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Kingly words from Psalm 2. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand." The opening words of Psalm 110. All pointing to the who, what and why of Jesus. These are the scriptures he teaches from. And as he talks, his words make their hearts burn within them. Like a beacon coming back on, pulsating in recognition of who it is that speaks to them, who is teaching them. Their souls connect to God, yet it is not recognised cognitively. They are not able to articulate what is happening at that point. The heart has understood, but the mind has not yet cottoned on. Has that ever happened to you? When you come to church or sit at home and read your Bible? Maybe even if you listen to a podcast. And it's like something has switched from cold to warm. And you are glowing inside. You have no idea why, but it feels good. And you don't want it to end. So you explore a bit more. The two disciples reach their home. They're in Emmaus now. Jesus has shared who he is, using the framework of scripture to thread together what they have told him of their experiences of faith in Christ and connected it to the bigger picture of God and his kingdom and the plan to bring the people of God back into a right relationship with God the Father, so that the meek might inherit the earth and the lost sheep can find their way home with the shepherd. And in the last days, swords will become ploughshares. With hearts burning within, they do not want this experience to end. What does it mean? They're not sure, but they have an opportunity now to encourage Jesus to stay, like he was going to leave them. Social etiquette meant you had to ask a fellow traveller to stay with you if they were going to be travelling on alone at night. The roads were dark. No streetlights or torches to help you miss the potholes and rocks. And robbers were a real threat out there on the road from Jerusalem. Remember, it was just after Passover, the first day that pilgrims could travel again. So lots of easy pickings for the criminally minded. "Stay," they say. "Let us host you for the night," they say. Was it their hearts or their minds that made them press him so firmly? Of course, Jesus said yes. It was expected. And now their own generous hospitality makes the way for heart and mind to synchronise. He stays with them, breaks some bread. And in that action, Jesus breaks through and is not just emotionally felt, but cognitively understood. He is alive. And who is it that is alive? Jesus, God on earth, is alive and with them, the one foretold by the prophets, the one whom the Jewish people had been told to look out for and listen to and follow, was right there with them in their home and at their table, holding a bit of bread, leading them in thanks to God for feeding them and sustaining them. And this revelation leads to understanding and gives hope eternal. Jesus might have disappeared from their sight physically in that moment, but that was okay. For they knew he was real and tangible, and not a confused, incomprehensible mess of bits of data muddled up with fear and doubt. That was now gone. Certainty and belief stood in their place. After slowly unpicking their story and revealing his own, it was in that up-close and personal mealtime moment where Cleopas and his friends, who had invited Jesus to join them, found that it all came together. The tearing of the bread, so reminiscent of the Last Supper and the feeding of the 5,000, became the absolute perfect moment and opportunity for God to be revealed. Isn't that fascinating? Such an ordinary thing, eating a meal together. And that is where he is seen completely and found. For it's in the sitting close to, and when we tentatively share the intimate parts of our daily life with Jesus, that the revelation and the powerful understanding of who he is and what he did for us reveals itself most clearly. As we sit in our homes, wondering when the high moments of life will come again, the special and the extraordinary things that thrill us and make us feel alive will be possible again, it's worth reflecting that really and truly, most often, it is the ordinary and mundane that Jesus makes his most powerful revelations in. So let's not overlook that. If, like me, you believe that God is with us and is walking alongside through the witness of his Son, Jesus, where is Jesus today? He's right here, amongst us now, revealing himself afresh in this time of worship. He's also sitting with you as you eat your dinner or munch a snack, watching the TV or FaceTiming a friend. In these extraordinary times that we are currently in, we have an opportunity to unravel and piece together our experiences of God and the story of God and see God revealed to us afresh. We have time to ponder, time to dwell, time to pray and time to listen. May I encourage you to do that with God. Read his word, talk to him in prayer. Look for him in the ordinary and see the extraordinary revelation of his story come to life in your hearts and minds this day, this week, this month. Once this mighty revelation happened to our two travellers, what did they do? They shared it and all that it meant to them with one another. And then they felt compelled to go out, despite the dangers of the night, and travel back to Jerusalem, back to their friends, and add their story to the growing witness statements that was becoming part of the gospel story of Jesus Christ. For Easter Day was a momentous occasion. Nothing like it had ever happened before. It was literally, as a worship song I sing says, the greatest day in history. And they had to sing it out loud and proud. Jesus is alive. They had to let everyone know that this is his story and this is my song, as an old hymn goes. They wanted us to know what Jesus defeating death meant to the people of God. It means Jesus is mine and he is yours and he is for everyone, So let us remember him and talk about him and share him with others. For this is too big, too exciting and so wonderful to keep to ourselves. Cleopas knew that. His friend did too. But do you? Amen. Now we come to the time of the Creed, words that see us standing as one body and saying aloud to the whole wide world who it is we believe in. Therefore, let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, for this next section of the service, you'll need a piece of bread or a small bread roll. If you need to just pause the podcast once again here and go and grab some, then please do so now. Well, now, if you're back with us, we're going to share a piece of bread. So if you've got your bread with you, just with you right now, and if you're isolating and it's just you in the room, just throw a crumb or two out for the birds in the garden. But tear your piece of bread and share it with those that are with you. Savour your little piece of bread that you've just been given. Try to eat it slowly and enjoy it. For those of you who have others in your home, invite everyone to imagine the meal at the end of the journey to Emmaus. Now, once you've munched your piece of bread, use the words on the service sheet and join with me and let us say together, Risen Lord Jesus, as we feast with you, help us to recognise you in all people, places and situations. Amen. Amen. And so, in an attitude of knowing we are not alone, but God is with us, let us sing to be in your presence.
To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire, O Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire. O Lord, this is my desire. Rushing away to cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, oh Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, O Lord, this This is my desire.
And so now we come to the time of our intercessions, an opportunity where we get to pray together for the needs of our world, our country, our local community, and ourselves. Let's pray. Father, as we meet you in this particular way, together in prayer, yet isolated through necessity, we thank you that you come out and meet us where we are and journey with us. And so we thank you for this opportunity to pray openly and publicly, unreservedly. And we lift to you those who are struggling at this time to find a safe space to draw close to you in such a way. We think in particular of our brothers and sisters in Christ living in countries where faith is frowned upon and persecution is rife. May they feel your wings of protection surrounding them and have their hearts warmed by the knowledge of your saving grace and love. Where there is fear, bring peace, and where there is atrocities and violence, may your justice and restoration be found. For in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. In Jesus, you continue to walk this road with us, treating us as an equal, even when we fail to recognize you. And so, Lord, we ask that you enable those in our country who are struggling due to lack of provision for their physical, mental, spiritual or financial needs. Lord, we pray earnestly and faithfully that they should and will encounter this day or this week some organisation or person that will provide all the support and care that they need at this time. And in a moment of quiet, we lift those individuals known to us who need your help or healing touch in these ways right now. For in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. God, our creator and sustainer, you always love us, always care for us, always want to eat and drink with us. Such is your character and way. Here in Stoke Poges, we are blessed to have serving our community a plethora of frontline workers, from NHS staff to our postal delivery people, to our local volunteers who valiantly rummage around supermarkets to bring their neighbours much needed supplies. Lord, we ask that in your infinite mercy, you keep them safe as they seek to be your hands and feet doing these vital things for us, and give them plenty of opportunities for times of quiet and refreshment at the end of their shifts. For in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Lord, you are not a stranger, but our friend. Yet we know that for many your words and your ways are a mystery still. As your local church, we long to be good news to all we meet, and desire that you, Jesus, be revealed in all that we say, and be visible in how we act. As we strive to do this, individually and as your body, enable us humbly to be a true reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ, where we are, reflecting your glory alone. For in you, O Lord, do we put our trust. And so together we say the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Collect for this week, our special prayer. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. As we come to the end of our time together in worship, let's sing this final song of praise. Tina said this was to be a song of thanks, so lift your voices high and loud, so the heavens rejoice and the earth shakes, for all you've done. And so to our final prayer, let us pray together. Lord Jesus, as you walked on the road to Emmaus, walk with us on the roads we travel. Help us to know your presence with us and to be your presence to others. And at the end of the day, May we all enjoy your feast. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Please take some time to look at the Going Deeper section at the end of the service sheet. It will give you an opportunity to dwell with God a bit more and dive a bit deeper into your relationship with him. And remember, use the store cupboard. It's there for all of us. And young people, enjoy your bags. And let us know if you need one dropping round. We would be happy to do so. God bless and stay safe.